There's the church, there's the steeple. Open the door, and there are the people. Pigeons roost in the church roof. Pigeons say coo. The church bells say ding-dong, calling the faithful to worship. What God says can be read in the Bible. See the postman's dog, waiting patiently outside the church. Woof, he says. Amen, says the congregation. What does the vicar say? Now they have all gone, I shall dress up as a choir boy. I have shaved my legs. How smooth they look. Smooth pink knees. If I am not good, I shall deserve punishment. Perhaps the choir mistress will catch me smoking behind the organ. A good boy would own up. I am naughty. I can feel the naughtiness under my smock. Smooth pink naughtiness. The choir mistress shall wear boots and put me over her lap. Tremble and dissolve into childhood. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about what is the phenomenon of bronies, and this is males, young males, who like the television series My Little Pony, and specifically the 2010 revival of the 1980 series My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. When I was a boy, My Little Pony was very much a series aimed at children. It was schmaltzy. It was kind of like the Care Bears. It was kind of like the early Disney films. There were good characters. They were the My Little Ponies. There were characters that were a bit naughty or whatever. They were monsters. It was entirely aimed at children. And it was, and to watch it now is it's just an appalling waste of time. It's a bit like watching He-Man for girls. In 2010 or 2011, they revived My Little Pony, and it was a little bit different. And it created an adult following, and there are other children's programs that have also managed to develop an adult following. These include Magic Roundabout, the Powerpuff Girls, even Peppa Pig. Now, one of the things that these have in common is that they are aimed broadly at children, but I guess the writers understand that adults are going to be made to watch these with their children, and so they have elements of it, they have subtext of it, which are aimed at adults and which are of interest to adults. They have jokes which the adults, and only the adults, will understand, or they have elements of it which reference things. I mean, Rhubarb and Custard is an example of this, which reference drug taking and that sort of thing, and so therefore they become popular with adults as well. The makers of the new version of My Little Pony were amazed by how quickly and how substantially there was an uptake of My Little Pony among young adult males, to the extent that a paper was written on this called Meet the Bronies. Those that like My Little Pony, men, call themselves bronies, and they have an identity where they really, really love the new version of My Little Pony. They have conventions based around the new version of My Little Pony. They have little societies where they meet up and talk about My Little Pony. It's really, really taken off. So what I want to look into today is what kind of people, of young men, are attracted to the new version of My Little Pony, and why is this the case? Well, there was a study on this by Patrick Edwards et al. Called Meet the Bronies, in which he found, first of all, unsurprisingly, 97% of the men that like My Little Pony are not married. Now, this was only in contrast, by the way, to married, so it doesn't mean they were single, though he did use qualitative methods, and he found that quite a lot of those people were single. Basically, they were autistic, and there was also have been various documentaries on bronies, and it's also been found that they do tend to be autistic. So it is autistic young men that are attracted to the updated version of My Little Pony. Why is this the case? Well, let us look first of all at what autism is. Autism is basically mind blindness. It's become very popular recently. Blindness to the workings of other people's minds. People that are autistic are on a spectrum where there is autism basically at one end and empathy at the other. Autistics are very, very high in systematizing. They're very, very good at making sense of the world and of sort of logic and reason and that sort of thing. But they are very, very bad at empathizing. They are low in empathy. They are very. They have a problem with understanding external manifestations of internal states. They are socially clumsy. They are unable to predict how other people think. They are unable to understand how other people think. The second marker of autism is that they are hypersensitive to stimuli. So they tend to take in a great deal of information. Well, this is, of course, useful in systematizing and solving problems, because the more information you can take in, the more subtly you can solve the problem. But the difficulty with it is that you can become easily overwhelmed and very, very sensitive to external stimuli, so things like noise or whatever. So you can have a kind of autistic breakdown because you become overstimulated. Thirdly, autistics tend to be very, very obsessive. They desperately, you know, they want to make sense of their world. Their world is a world of chaos in which they don't understand anything. They don't understand social intercourse or anything like this, and so they need to find ways to structure their chaotic world and make sense of it. So they tend to like order and routine, and they tend to be very, very averse to change of any kind, and also this results, of course, in obsessions, in them becoming absolutely obsessed and focused on, for example, solving particular problems, and they have a difficulty coping when they can't solve those problems, and they will often behave in socially inappropriate ways because they become so overwhelmed by the lack of structure and lack of order that occurs, and so they have a sort of autistic breakdown. I mean, that, in basic summary, is the essence of autism. And a lot of parents of bronies that were interviewed all said the same thing, that until they became involved in this brony cult, brony idea, then their children were lonely, their children were socially anxious, their children didn't have any friends, their children were socially inappropriate, whatever. And there was something about the bronies that allowed them to make friends, that allowed them to behave appropriately and basically improved their lives. There's other evidence, by the way, of autism can be found from Reddit. A quick analysis, which one of the people behind the scene, the Jolly Heretic, did for me, found that people that are into the bronies are significantly more autistic than the average user of Reddit. They are 2.76 times more likely to be involved in subreddits that are to do with autism, and they are 10.29 times more likely to be involved in subreddits that are to do with conservatism. So this fits with the idea that autistic people don't like change. They don't like change, and they are the result of that is that they can become nostalgic. And that is one of the things I think that is attractive about My Little Pony. It is first of all a nostalgia for childhood. It is a nostalgia for the childlike, for being a child, for a simpler, more black and white way of life, which makes sense to the person who is autistic. And this also fits with the conservatism. A lot of conservatism, you don't like change, you are nostalgic for the way things used to be, for aspects of childhood. Now, it's not good enough that it's just a children's programme. That's boring for the average autistic or the average person. It's more than that. It's this childhood that's presented to you, but there are aspects of it which are aimed at adults and which are amusing for adults. So it's kind of a postmodern children's programme. It's self-referential. The original My Little Pony is the My Little Ponies coming across naughty monsters that do naughty things and persuading them not to be naughty. This My Little Pony is about parents having arguments about everyday things, or it references all kinds of stuff. And so this is attractive to basically adults who are nostalgic for childhood. A second aspect to autism crosses over with becoming stuck in childhood. I did a a study of Churchill's headmaster, Herbert Snade Kinnersley. And one of the things that was noteworthy about him is that he was a sort of a fetishist. He was a corporal punishment fetishist. But he was also a pederast who was basically stuck in a certain age. And he was basically sexually attracted to 12-year-olds. Now, at the age of 12, his mother died. And there is and it may be that this trauma was relevant to the kind of fetish that he developed. There is evidence that people who are autistic are more likely to experience feelings very, very, very strongly. They experience feelings more intensely. And so therefore they are more likely to become traumatized, and they are more likely to become, therefore, as it were, stuck at a certain age. There was some other research by somebody called Alan Walker, a book on paedophiles called A Long Dark Shadow. And what this person found was that the people that are paedophiles will be sexually attracted to those of their own age up to a certain age, let's say 12, and then they will just stop. They will stop becoming attracted to people of their own age. They will be stuck at that age and being attracted to people of that age. They will have a kind of arrested development, and therefore they just carry on fancying people of that particular age. They are stuck in childhood, and this will tend to happen because some sort of traumatic thing will happen to them at that age, which they won't be able to get over. They won't be able to move past. Now, this would be more likely to happen to autistic people, because autistic people experience feelings very, very strongly, experience sensations very, very strongly, experience the world very, very, very intensely, and are therefore more likely to basically experience trauma. They are essentially hyper aware. They have hyper feelings, and they are therefore more likely to experience something more intensely and not be able to move past it. So it may be that these bronies are not able, I'm not saying that they're paedophiles, but they're not able to move past childhood in a way. They are kind of stuck in it. And so there is something attractive about us, the sort of idealized childhood with adult elements to it, which they are still experiencing, that is presented to them in these, whether it's Peppa Pig or whatever, in the bronies. They haven't been able to move past childhood, and they are anyway naturally nostalgic because they are autistic and they hate change. The second element, I think, is an element of identity. This is very, very interesting. So those who were interested in who were on the subreddit, they were 3.2 times more likely to be transsexual. And they were 10.29 times more likely to be on the talk about the subreddits relating to loneliness. Now, what does this mean? It means that they're in search of an identity. One of the problems with being autistic is that you are surrounded by this chaos. Other people, the world makes sense to them. There is a security to the world. They are approached by people. People have these facial expressions. They understand. They understand people. They understand where people are coming from and how to deal with them. And so the world is a kind of comfortable place, and it makes sense. And they naturally develop a sense of who they are and where they belong in the world. This is more difficult for autistic people, because for autistic people the world is chaos. The result of that is that they have a fundamental feeling of sort of almost like a fear of abandonment, or something a bit like borderline personality disorder, where it makes them anxious, it makes them depressed, and to deal with this they need to come up with a way of making sense of the world, a strong sense of identity. That sense of identity will often be unstable because they will always be insecure and questioning of themselves, but nevertheless that's what they need. Now, if you look at transsexuality, what you have there is it's correlated transsexuality with borderline personality disorder. So you don't know who you are, you don't know what's going on, and one of the things that occurs to you is though, well, perhaps you come up, maybe I'm born into the wrong body, and so you develop this gender dysphoria. There are other dysphorias, they all intercorrelate. One of them is believing that you're fat when you're not. One of them is believing that you're disabled when you're not. They all intercorrelate, and they give a person a sense of clear identity. So that you can see why these things are interrelated, and what My Little Pony can give people is a sense of clear identity. So that's the second thing that is attractive. The third thing that you find about autistics is that autistics are basically very highly sexual people. They are very, very high. They are relatively high in markers of testosterone. What they are, what we mentioned earlier, remember that you have these extreme, this spectrum, whereby you are very, very good at systematizing at one end and very, very good at empathy at the other end. Simon Baron Cohen has argued that what the hyper systematizing brain is the extreme male brain. And people that have brains like that tend to be very, very masculinized, physically masculinized, high in testosterone. And this includes a high sex drive. People who are very, very high in empathy, he argues, that's the extreme female brain. And people that are high in that tend to be very, very low in testosterone and other markers of masculinization. So what you have with autistic people is people that basically have a very masculinized, very masculine people, very high in sex drive and that sort of thing. Now, the extreme male can therefore be expected to be what is called a fast life history strategist, that you, as a male, you have nothing to lose from the sexual encounter. So you may as well just live fast, die young, and have sex with as many good-looking, young, fertile women as possible. The woman has something to lose from the sexual encounter, so she operates a bit differently, and she selects status because the children are more likely to survive if the father has status and invests in them, and so on. But what we have then with the autistic is they're more likely to be fast life history strategists, and therefore they're more likely to be attracted to youth and beauty, to young girls. So what you have with the My Little Pony is extreme neoteny. They're basically sexualized. If you look at the way that these girls are presented, these ponies are presented, they're very, very different from how they were presented in the 80s. It is exaggerated feminine features. Big eyes, big eyelashes. We're talking about sexualized ponies here. We're talking about extreme neoteny. So this is going to be attractive. This whole notion of extreme neoteny is going to be attractive to autistic people. And that's why I think anime and these kind of Japanese extreme feminine images are attracted to them. So I think that is also relevant. It's the neoteny of them that you have. Plus, of course, then there are slightly adult themes to it. So autistic people, very high sex drive. They also, interestingly, they become fetishists very easily, autistics, because they feel feelings very strongly, and they become very easily sexually aroused. They very easily create sexual associations in a way that other people wouldn't, and so therefore they more easily become fetishists, and they are more easily focused on objects as well, on specific objects. So you get people that are, you know, really, really interested in breasts, let's say, or really, really interested in buttocks, and that those have to be of a particular size or whatever to be arousing. That's very much an autistic thing, and taken to a greater extreme, you have other more unusual fetishes. Well, you have this with the My Little Pony characters. You have these certain sexually dimorphic traits, which are exaggerated, in particular big eyes, which is a sign of low testosterone and a sign of being highly feminine, and eyelashes and whatever. So you can see how it's attractive in this way. It presents this extreme neoteny. Finally, autistic people are very, very interested in cartoons, I suspect, because it's the emotions are clear, the storylines are clear, how people feel is clear. They may have trouble following the plots of more subtle kinds of dramas or whatever aimed at adults, but what you have here is it's clear. The facial expressions are clear. It's the brilliance of cartoons. It's all clear to them. So I think this may be an element of it as well. Indeed, it has been suggested by some autistics that have been interviewed about this that one of the characters in the new My Little Pony, she's called Twilight, is autistic. She does get very, very obsessed with things. She makes lots of plans, and she has an autistic breakdown and goes bonkers if those plans don't go don't go right. So, and they kind of identify with her as being a bit like them. And some mothers that have been interviewed said, oh, surely the people that made the new My Little Pony were aware, they must know people that are autistic, because this character is so manifestly autistic. So I don't think people are often shocked that, oh, there's this brony culture and that you have all these men that are attracted to My Little Pony. I don't think we should be shocked by it at all. I think it makes a great deal of sense. And it is what we would expect of autistic people. Well, I hope there's a bit of interest, and if it has, then please subscribe. You can see ways to support the show below. Remember, I live show Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, and I will see you soon. And goodbye.